Okay, looks like we're coming on board now. We're going to put on our intro. Are you ready for that? Here we go. Bingo.
Good evening, friends of the Bulkley Valley and beyond. My name is Thomas Tom Roper, and you are listening to CICK, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9 on your FM dial. My program, On the Ropes, is broadcasting from the Cassia Territory of the Gidimdum Clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en.
There we go. Okay, ladies and gentlemen of the Bulkley Valley, we are live, and tonight I've got a special guest, as we have every 2 weeks, and tonight is Matt Perry. I'm calling him a homegrown Smithereen. He's grown up in the valley and has ended up settling in the valley. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Yeah, I'm really excited about our layout. I always like to kind of figure out why people come to the valley, but you were fortunate enough to be born here.
Yeah.
And then why do they stay, and how do they find a way to look after themselves while they're doing that? So in your case, your family here has been in the valley for a fair length of time. They must have immigrated from somewhere. Did they, like your grandpa?
Yeah. My grandparents came up from the Kootenays.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and so yeah. What was the attraction to Smithers at that time? Did they ever tell you?
No, I don't exactly know what brought them here. I think they liked the mountains. I think they liked the people.
Right.
As I understand it, I think they made a stop on their way up and then eventually settled in here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. And they must have brought a few of their relatives with them also. Like, there's more than one Perry in the valley.
That is a result of my grandfather and grandmother having five boys.
Five
boys. So the majority of the Perry boys, or the Perry name that you hear, is from that five-pack.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. And the out of the five boys, they all stayed in Smithers?
No. Three of the five stayed in Smithers.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And then two have, I have an uncle now living in Calgary, an uncle that just recently passed. He was living in Kamloops.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah. So in your case, Matt, from my experience, really, I don't know your dad really well, but just sort of, seeing the outskirts of his life, you guys actually lived a little bit out of town, sort of out towards Slack Road at one time.
Yeah.
Do you remember those days?
Yeah, we lived on Proctor Road until I was about five. I remember making snowmen, eating snow in the yard, losing a Batman toy, and then getting stung by a bumblebee on the porch.
Right. Those are good memories of the Proctor
and
Road.
And all sorts of other silly ones, like singing. I was talking about it with my sister yesterday. Of singing, like, of course, we have the old, right now in our new house, between 5 and 6 years old, we moved up to Driftwood.
Okay.
And we now have a box of cassettes that we're trying to, we've been talking about converting.
Right.
Or getting in, we don't even know how, but we know we would like to get some digital copies of them. And
right.
We have old videos of me being on my head and singing, I'm upside down, upside down.
So right.
Lots of silly memories of there. But when I was about between 5 and 6, we moved up to Driftwood.
Now, Driftwood, that is not where you are now or where your parents are now.
Where my parents are now, yeah.
So that's
up
right
on
Old
Babine Lake.
Old Babine, right. And that is now you have become like a farm life. It was a different world than downtown Smithers. You were sort of a little bit, you weren't in the city, but you were close enough to the city, but now you've moved out to Babine.
My parents lived, I grew up Proctor Road was slightly out of town, and then mm-hmm. I grew up out of town.
Right.
My mom had to be around horses. She
had,
when she wasn't working, she was living and breathing riding.
So she had an affliction of some sort.
Yeah, you could say.
Yeah. Well, funnily enough, in my world, I was the same. So like when I was a kid in Burnaby, I got my dad to build a shed in the backyard, and that was where I was going to keep the horse. And we went to the rodeo in those days was the Cloverdale Rodeo, and I bought a ticket on winning this horse, and I couldn't do anything but think about that horse, you know. And of course, I didn't win, and we carried on, but it was always in me that I wanted to have horses.
Huh.
So when we got to Smithers, and I finally got myself, you know, with a job and was able to get money, then I was able to buy a farm, and that's what I've done for the last 50 years is having a farm. Like, we've only just moved into town in the last couple of years. So your mother wanted to get into this horse world, and you got to have a little bit of property.
Yeah, she was into it a little bit, but there was just, I think she was coming out here, and she came out here originally for work, as I understand, mm-hmm. and then, but it was definitely one of the perks of living in northern rural BC was right. that she'd have, she could had a lot more freedom to do those types of things.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And what about your dad? Was he into horses too?
No. I got the same passion for horses that my dad has.
Right.
No, he was always very supportive of my mom.
Right.
But never enjoyed it himself.
Yeah, exactly.
She would sometimes, she used to say that she didn't like it when he got close to the horses because he made them look small.
Right. Yeah, that's a good one, yeah. Well, I had a chance to do a little story with your mom on one of the girls that she was training.
Yes.
I'm not sure where that girl has made it, but she was quite a jumper, you know?
Yes, Amelia.
And your mother has put a lot of work into that part of her job.
Yes, she's also now in an interesting place where she's starting to pass on some of her passion.
Yeah,
to younger folk.
Yeah, exactly. So going back to that a little bit, Matt, when you were growing up and you moved out there, like you've had a kind of a lifestyle where you could call yourself a farm boy whether you wanted to be one or not. You were helping out.
Yeah, I was. I don't think I'd go as far as calling myself a farm boy. But I was a bit eclectic. I was a bit of a dumb jock. I was surrounded by music. I was very fortunate to be surrounded by music, and I grew up in the countryside.
Right.
I would help my mom yearly with hay and then around on little chores, but it was never like a job or like a real farm boy.
Yeah.
But that's right. I was around it for sure.
Yeah. So you said you were kind of a jock. So is that something that kind of came along as you were in school? Like you had an opportunity to play different sports and find your way around on your abilities and your balance?
Sure, I guess. Yeah. I just played since I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like when I was a kid, and I'd always come into school with green stains all over my knees.
Yeah.
Playing soccer all lunch. When I was young, my dad had me skating since I was young. So I played a lot of hockey, and I played hockey really all throughout elementary school, high school, and played soccer. And then eventually towards the end of high school, started playing basketball.
Okay. Right. So it sounds like you've had a few opportunities to do that type of stuff, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
The other thing I was sort of wondering about a little I understood your grandpa had some property out at Spats Easy, and I was kind of wondering, did you ever get out into the country to see the wild northern BC?
I don't think I've ever been to his place in Spats Easy.
Right. But you knew he had something up there?
I'd probably heard of it from
it's,
my uncle.
It's probably a ways back, yeah. And your uncle has a cabin out at Alice Arm.
That's right.
Have you been to that one?
My cousin just built one too. I've been to my uncle's cabin.
Okay.
My cousin Lane actually just put up a cabin. This Christmas I got to look at some of the photos he built.
Oh, nice.
Pretty neat.
Yeah. What a beautiful wild spot out there.
It is very, very cool.
Pretty amazing.
Very rugged.
Yeah. I've never made it there. I've tried a couple times, but I just haven't got through all the problems. It's not that easy to get there.
It's not easy to get there. If my Uncle John didn't drive, I probably wouldn't be able to find it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And like with Spats Easy, it took me 35 years to get there. I wanted to see that place because it's an amazing wild spot in northern BC. It's a park, but it's just incredible country, mountainous. Yeah. But it took me a while to get there, and I would love to go back, but I did get the opportunity to spend a week out there, and it was pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah. There's so much to see in our area. It's actually kind of incredible.
It is.
Because you can't keep up. There's way more than you can ever put in a lifetime, you know, of what you wanted to look at, eh?
Yeah.
So, Matt, as we're trucking along here, we also try to like to get a song, and you've had this opportunity to live in a musical family, which is kind of crazy, really, in a sense. How
it's pretty
fortunate,
wild.
Yeah. And that, so your musical sort of, I don't know what style that you listen to. You've been sort of heavily influenced by your dad, but also by your sister. So you have only the one sister, Matt.
That's right. And in terms of my musical interest, it's when I was young, it sort of fluctuated. I listened to a really wide variety of music, and I was actually kind of embarrassed that my dad was singing. It was sort of like I didn't want to be vulnerable and say that I liked his music, because then if somebody said they didn't like it, I'd be like, oh, no, that's my dad.
Yeah.
And
that's
so
right.
It wasn't until I was actually probably in my young mid-20s where I actually was confident enough with who I was, where I could actually, you know, appreciate it. And it was kind of the similar with my sister.
Mm-hmm.
In my like young 20s, I was just like, I realized how much I appreciated that style of music, how much I was fortunate to be around that music, and kind of tried to take it in a lot more.
Right. Yeah, I can see, you know, when there's someone like your father is in our community would be considered famous, you know, in the sense that
I call him Northern BC famous.
Yeah, which is kind of cool, but it also puts pressure on you as a person, you know, where you're going to stand on that until you've, like these formative years, the teenage years that you go through, there's a lot of peer pressure and issues that we have to deal with until you get into your 20s where you feel more comfortable about yourself and confident in who you are and the decisions you're making. Mm-hmm. There is that little time where you feel a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
With someone that's a little
more and that's
famous.
Part of growing up too,
yeah.
right?
It's, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I would say that would be with anybody's parents that are, you know, running a little bit ahead of the average in a town, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of, well, let's put a song on.
Sure.
All right. So I got one. I've got these ones picked out that you pulled. So why don't we start out with this Rock and Roll Is Not Dead.
Love it.
And we'll see how it sounds. This is MIP and the, what do they call themselves?
The MIP Power Trio. And so this song, I chose this song because it, summer, I flew up to Smithers, then drove down, took a van down to Kamloops, and then I got to, as I mentioned, in my mid-20s, I started actually becoming a big fan of my sister.
Right.
And so I actually drove the van down to Kamloops, met up, picked her band up at the airport, and then I got to spend 3 days. Every night was at a different pub with the band. I joke that I was her roadie.
Yeah. Yeah, but which you would be in a sense if you're driving them around. Somebody's got to.
I wasn't driving. I only picked him up and brought the van out, and then she didn't need me anymore.
Right on. Okay, well, let's give it a go.
Love it.
All right, let's see if we can get her to start up.
Yeah.
for listening to you.
That's pretty cool, hey?
Yeah,
I love imagine it. Having a sister that can sound like that. I tell you, that's something pretty exciting.
Yeah, I know, and it's a cool song. And actually, any time I think of that song, it reminds me of that
moment.
Yeah, getting to spend some time with my sister in kind of a behind scenes thing. Look at some of the things that she does, right?
Yeah, and it's, exactly. How she kind of lives with that life, you know, on the move.
Yeah,
that's pretty crazy. Well, we were very fortunate to see them just on Saturday night. Your dad and your sister were headlining at the old Driftwood School, and it was a very cool performance, you know. And I just like the way she acts. Like, she sounds very confident, and then she's also kind of, you know, thinking about her confidence, but she's very. She's very out there with her music, you know, so I get a kick out of her. She's pretty cool. Like, your dad is the same. He's got his own stage style, you know, which is kind of cool. We've followed him for a long time. We call ourselves Mark Perry groupies, my wife and I. Yeah. But anyways, Matt, going back to your period of time in school, so you would have had to ride the bus. How did that go? Was it a good experience riding the bus? Sometimes is there a little bit of pushing around in the bus? Were you always a big guy?
I was always a big guy, but when I was young, I was I definitely annoyed the older kids a little bit.
Right.
There was a couple times where I wasn't a bully or anything. I was more, and I wasn't getting bullied, but I was just, I don't know.
Yeah.
I got, I just bugged some kids, and then
they react.
They would physically twist my arm or do something silly. But no, it was fine. And then eventually I was the older kid, and I tried to just sit in the back of the bus.
Yeah.
And then eventually my last year I was able to drive, and so I had all this freedom.
Yeah, exactly. It's quite a change. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, in my case, I was a smaller guy, so I was bullied. You know, bullying is pretty common in our world, and there, you know, you're trying to keep yourself of not getting roughed up too badly, and so it's better with your size that you're able to kind of hold your own, which was always, I was always friends with guys that were a little bit bigger than me. To keep things in line, you know, but it's good. So, did you go to Chandler?
I did. We were one of the last years of Chandler Park.
Yeah.
I went there for 1 year in grade 8.
Oh, okay. One year. And that was because that can be an interesting experience, Chandler. It's a kind of a, it's not a rough school, but it's an interesting school because of the age program, you know, that we're at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah. So, after Chandler and after high school, now at some point you got to say to yourself, well, what am I going to do? Now, I'm just down in Burnaby visiting my friend as a fire chief. He was a Burnaby fire chief. Well, his son is a fireman. And that runs, you find guys, hockey players, their kids go into hockey, you know. So you look at your life, your mother was a horse person, farmer. Your father was a singer, a railway guy. You didn't choose those avenues. How did you come up with your plan?
I knew I wanted to leave and do something.
Yeah.
What I wanted to do for the first 3 years of university changed sometimes every couple months, sometimes every year, just through experience. For me, just going, moving, and trying different things was really important.
Right.
So I was also fortunate. I was really driven because I was fortunate enough to play basketball at TRU, Toms River University.
Right.
And then I was like, okay, I wanted to do school, but I had no idea what I wanted to do. So right. I was balancing basketball in school and learning to live by myself. And then it took a little bit of trial and error.
Right, right, yeah. Exactly. No, and that's an interesting period of our lives where we're trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
Now, you said that you had met your wife in high school.
Yes.
So she didn't, you weren't connected together, like you, she didn't come down to Kamloops and
no, she did not.
So you were kind of doing, you were sort of learning how to live, like, you know, when your mother, like, that's something I always say to people when they throw out litter on the ground, you kind of say, hey, like, well, your mother's not around here to pick that up, you know, maybe you should think about that a little bit. And when we get out on our own, we have to cook and we have to wash the dishes and we gotta, you know, get organized. And that's something that's really important to do before you just go into grade 12 and marry your sweetheart and then she starts looking after you again. And you've never got that. You know what I mean? So you had that opportunity to sort of think about yourself. What are you going to do? How are you going to look after yourself?
Yes.
And I think it's very important.
For sure. It was a very it was a very important period of time. To wind back a little bit, my wife and I actually met in high school.
Okay.
So before I went to university, she was a foreign exchange student from France. Mm-hmm. Somehow, randomly got chosen to go to Smithers.
Weird.
They choose their country. They don't choose the town. And
right.
So a big culture shock for her. She didn't speak a lot of English and then came And towards the end of the year, we started seeing each other and just enjoying each other's company. But at the end of the year, it was sort of like this unspoken agreement that there was a deadline.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And with that, we didn't really, we really enjoyed each other's company, but then it was kind of, we went separate ways and I went and had to learn those independent skills, although I'm not sure how fast I learn them. I think I survived my first year on Delicio Pizza and Chunky Soup.
Yeah, exactly. call Mom. Mom, what should I do? How do I turn this on? How do I cook this?
I actually made sure my mom always made me pie for Christmas.
Right, right.
That would last a couple of days, and then I was back to cavemanning it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, that's interesting. Really, it is how your girlfriend went back home to France and you went down there. And now we're in this period of time where you could be crying every night and phoning her and spending hours and hours on the phone. But you were still, you were living and she was living.
Yeah.
And you hadn't come to that point where you thought maybe we should look at getting back together.
No, we actually, we didn't really... We talked a little bit after, but we kind of just went and lived our own lives.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't really stay in touch. And then, so we were just doing our own thing.
Yeah, exactly. So while you were down, now you got to make this decision of what it is you're going to do with your education.
Yeah.
And so when you're down in Kamloops, this is the point where kind of wonder about people from Smithers, because I've got three boys. And when they were at that point that you're at right now in Kamloops, they decided they're going to stay. They're going to marry a girl from Victoria, from Vancouver, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then they don't come back to Smithers. Now, you had to make this decision, okay, I'm going to take this job or this training, I'm going to go this direction, and it's going to work in Smithers. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, it's a bit more... There's a bit more in between there.
Yeah.
I'm not old, but I'm kind of like, I've graduated 20 years ago.
I know, it's crazy. That's crazy.
And for
it's
some
crazy.
People listening, that's probably not very much.
No.
For me, it feels like a ton.
Yeah.
But so I was in Kamloops for 3 years and then I actually went to Vancouver.
Oh, okay.
And I finished up my degree in Vancouver.
Okay.
And then took a year off and then and went traveling and then came back and finished my Bachelor of Education degree. And then after that, it was kind of a nice transition to working in Vancouver.
Oh, and so you actually worked in Vancouver?
Yeah, I worked four years, I was teaching in Burnaby.
Oh, no.
And North Vancouver, and then actually it would have been 6 years. Yeah, wow. Because I was also tour guiding. I tour guided and...
In what fashion, the tour guide? Like tour around guide. Vancouver?
Yeah, so we did destination tours. Oh, I got okay. on actually because when I finished my teaching degree,
right.
I had no money.
Right.
And then they started the teaching strike and
I was scratching around, looking
under the sofa for coins. And,
yeah.
And then I got an opportunity to do a little bit of trips with schools, and then that led to some camps because all the international kids that were coming in for the school year and located around the Lower Mainland had nothing to do because right. the schools were on strike.
Right.
So this company
right.
that I started, Discover Canada Tours, they started organizing events for all those kids, and then they were desperately looking for tour guides, and
wow.
then I jumped on the opportunity because I was, in need of some cash.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that sounded like a really cool opportunity.
Yeah, it was neat. It led me to, I got my class 4 license through it.
Right.
And then I got to travel. We did multiple trips to Tofino, Whistler, the Rockies, Seattle,
wow.
Victoria, and I actually got paid to do it. And then I got to do all this stuff for
yeah.
free. It was
yeah.
awesome.
Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, we want to do all that stuff. That's what
yeah.
we want to do. We want to take
yeah.
the trip to Tofino. I've been
yeah.
down there once. I loved every minute of it.
Yeah.
I'd love to go back. But then
yeah.
there's these other things
gotta
you want
to
do.
Got to get back there.
Yeah, exactly.
I bought my parents surf lessons. They went surfing.
That must have been so cool.
I would have loved to have seen it. I got a couple photos.
Yeah,
I think
yeah,
they,
yeah.
they got in the water. I'm not
yeah,
sure about
yeah.
my surf and they
yeah,
did.
Yeah. No, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's pull in another song, okay?
Let's do it.
Yeah, I got
Which one we got?
We've got this one by your dad, and I actually have listened to a lot of songs of your dad, but I've never listened to this one.
This one. So this
yeah.
one actually, this one I was inspired to choose.
Right.
Because I think he hasn't explicitly said it, but I believe I'm the little boy that jumped into his father's arms in this song.
Okay.
And now we
okay.
got, Anne and I have our own little boy, Luca.
Luca.
Who's
okay.
leaping in arms
yeah.
himself.
Yeah, exactly. Now that's pretty cool. All right, let's try this. This is called Leap of Faith.
There's a little boy on the hood of a car. He jumps into his father's arms. A miss is not even considered as he flies through the air. It's that total trust and judgment that I vaguely recognize. It's been a while since I've seen that through daylight. It's a leap of faith into those arms that will shelter him from harm and richly reward the leap of faith. When a boy grows older, he reaches and falls a couple of times, and trust becomes elusive and so hard. And he wonders if he can hold her, or will she go? And if he needs her, just how much can he let her know? It's a leap of faith into those arms that will shelter him from harm and richly reward the leap of faith. Stand a safe distance apart. If you want love to happen, you've got to lead. You've got to lead with your heart. And take a leap of faith into those arms. They will shelter you from harm and richly reward the leap of faith. It takes a leap of faith into those arms. They will shelter you from harm and richly reward the leap of faith. And richly reward the leap of faith.
That's a pretty cool song.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is the cool thing about doing this radio show. Is I get to listen to people's music. And then with Spotify, when you put it on, it's got about 20 songs below it that are similar.
Yeah.
So you get a kind of a variety of music that I'd never pick out myself.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't know how to look for it, you know. But this, of course, we really like your dad. But this song, I kind of like it because it's almost like what you're talking about now. We're taking this leap of faith of, we've got to, you know, what are we going to do? What job are we going to take? What person are we going to marry? And then we're going to have a baby, you know? I mean, these are all sort of like...
Lots of leaps of faith in life, isn't there?
Yeah, it's kind of cool the way that is sort of laid out there, you know?
Yeah.
So when you were... I didn't realize you were in Vancouver that long.
Yeah.
So you had a good opportunity to make a decision that you're going to live in Vancouver. You're going to put your whole life here, but you didn't. I want to know, that moment that changes things. Like, you got all these things happening. You've got this job, which is an amazing job, you know, being a tour guide.
Yeah.
And you're trying to finish up your schooling and get that ticket in your pocket that's going to allow you to go to Vancouver Island.
Yeah.
Or, you know, why not? You could teach at Tofino, you know. So you're kind of in this moment. You know, this is a great moment in life. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, like it's a bit different than maybe is traditional. Like for me, it was I've never been one that that plans his life out necessarily.
Yeah.
I've kind of I've had to be moving, be in motion, and kind of listen and respond sometimes, right? And then sometimes there's also events that happen that you know, that change your life too. And for me, it was like when I was in Kamloops, when I was in Vancouver, whenever somebody asked who I was, something that came up was where I'm from.
Right.
And
right.
to me, that was really important.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a friend down that lives down south. And I made lots of so many wonderful friends living down there. And I was judgmental about living in the city myself, and I was kind of against it. And then I spent some time down there, and I actually got to connect with some just incredible people. And they knew exactly where I was from, and they would never have heard of Smithers, but it was part of who I was. And there was a little part of me that always wanted to go back.
Right.
And I came back here every Christmas.
Right.
That was something I almost never missed.
Yeah.
Until eventually I had to go do Christmas in France.
And right.
That was wonderful too. But it was something that was really important, coming back and staying connected. And the fact that my family has such strong roots here was really special. And I was quite content living down in Vancouver, but and there was always a part of me that was wanting in my heart to come back to town.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I reconnected with Anne, which was, we were living in Vancouver, she knew Smithers as well, and she had some special memories up here as well. Her connection in terms of family was not there. She has some connections in the valley, but her family's long, like far, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But when it was actually during COVID, where we were stuck down in the city, and in March, April, end of March, early April, they confirmed that schools were going to be continuing to shut down.
Right.
And so I was going to be working digitally. She was, I believe, working at the Burnaby Village Museum at that time.
Oh yeah.
And, I think that she was working digitally. And so it was just a weird, weird time in our world.
Yeah.
And
very
so
much
we so. Just said, you know what? like it would be like, let's get out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, well, the city is a little bit more confined during that COVID situation. Like
big time. Up here, it was much different.
Yeah, I didn't have any confines at all. I was still able to go skiing and I was still able to go out hiking or whatever. So I didn't feel that same pressure of COVID. Yeah. And I could see if you're in an apartment or somewhere, like my dad lived down there.
Yeah.
And he actually passed away during COVID. Yeah. We couldn't have a celebration of his life because people couldn't gather, you know. So it wasn't good. It wasn't good.
Yeah, and a lot of those things, those things that are important to share with community were lost, right?
Right.
And
right.
those, deaths, births, all those things.
Amazing time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really interesting.
But yeah, so that was sort of the Kickstarter. We actually came up here. And I was working online for a couple months. And then I think in June, they said they were going to reopen schools with certain restrictions and regulations. And at that point, we'd had 2 months up here of nothing to do but stay in the cabin and chat about what we wanted to do. And we kind of were enjoying the time and decided, you know what, let's pull the trigger.
Let's try it.
Yeah. And so it was.
The thing is, you can always make a decision, and if that decision is not working out, you can always change it.
Yeah.
You know, nothing is written in stone.
Yeah.
You know, so that's pretty cool. So, Matt, just bring me back a little bit to that moment when you went traveling after school there. Did you get overseas? Did you get down to South America or Mexico? Or what? Where did you actually
get? South America.
South America, yeah. And how far down did you get in there?
So, when in 2012, I finished my Bachelor of Kinesiology degree, and I immediately, I'd applied for the Bachelor of Education, and I got accepted into the program, and I was going to go right away into another degree. And then I just, something inside me was like, no, but we don't want to do that. And I went traveling in South America.
Right.
And so 2 months in Colombia, 2 months in Peru, 2 months in Ecuador, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru. And before that, the only time I left the country was on basketball trips with the university.
Right.
And
right.
I'd been to like Walla Walla, Washington like all these, like, but it wasn't, I'd done very little traveling. So it was a big shock.
Yes.
And, I got to learn some Spanish. And it was kind of ironic because when I was learning Spanish, my Spanish teacher said to me, whenever I initially started lessons, I must have faked it really good, Tom, because they put me in a high like lesson, in a high like level of Spanish, and I'd done some Duolingo and but whenever I didn't know something, I would just go back to the French I learned in high school, and then eventually it didn't take long. It wasn't even until the first coffee break, and then they had a little meeting.
Yeah.
The two instructors had a meeting, and then I realized I was being demoted to
a little bit down. We're thinking you're better than you are, but the trick with Spanish is just put an O on the end of the word.
Easy,
and
you've
got it.
Whenever I was in that class, my instructor would say to me, when I didn't know a word, I would just throw out a French word and see if it stuck.
Yeah.
But eventually my Spanish surpassed my French.
Which is pretty cool.
It was, and I was using it quite a bit. But later it's kind of ironic because when I met my wife, I was then learning French.
Right.
And then my Spanish was better than my French. And so we had to kind of like slingshot it.
Yeah,
back,
right. No, that's
and then my French teacher, I was taking French lessons, and everything was full circle because my French teacher was telling me to stop using my Spanish.
Right.
Know words.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And well, now I'm just cool. a big,
it's
knows?
All just in there. It's,
yeah.
it's all, you can't take it out. It's all in there now.
Yeah.
You just got to adjust it. So, Matt, when you were traveling, this is the thing that I felt. I had a chance to travel And I went to Africa, and I nice. You know, went down to Central America and all these different places.
Yeah.
But it's the people that I met. I seemed to meet a lot of poor people. And yeah. It developed sort of it helped to increase my empathy for people. Yeah. I don't know, did you feel that at all, that was going on? Or were you, like, you can live in two worlds when you travel. Like, I met these guys when I was in Africa. They were living in Club Med. So they had this little, area fenced off. Nobody could get in. All the poor people were outside begging. And I was living sort of with the poor people, you know. It was a kind of a different mm-hmm. world. And I kind of got that sort of, where I didn't like the Club Med world, you know. Mm-hmm. And that sort of, I've always been that way, where I'm sort of not, sort of a rallying for
you'd
the
like
billionaires.
You like to integrate into the culture.
Yeah, and I want to.
Get into
and I
what's
really,
real.
Yeah, and I want to really sort of help the people that need help. Yeah. That's how I feel. Did you ever get any of that feeling yourself?
A little bit. Yeah. I would say I got more of that later, when, not that trip. That trip mm-hmm. was mostly just moving around, going through different experiences, and lots of learning.
Right.
I learned so much coming from somebody who had never traveled to
yeah.
somebody who functionally moved around these different
just
countries.
Just that adapting
and,
to...
Yeah, and you just... I definitely met some people, but I was on the go quite a
yeah,
bit.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
exactly.
So... Yeah, it is always tricky, right? Because, like, I definitely had good conversations, enjoyed good experiences mm-hmm. with people, but I also think those were really special for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were probably a lot less special for the people that were there sometimes, because
right,
I really think that, and this is one of the many reflections I had, was that if you really want to connect with people, you need to stay there a little longer,
yeah,
and you need to
yeah.
be involved and,
and their life a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you need to actually share things, right?
Where yeah.
that was,
yeah.
it was wonderful. I learned so much and did so many crazy things, but, it wasn't really in the communities
right.
that I was
right.
or that involved. Right.
Well, I can see that. I can see yeah. that really well. So Matt, when we hit the midway point, we're actually pushing it a little bit, but there's always lots to talk about. We like to remind our listeners that we are on CICK 93.9 on your FM dial, and we call ourselves Smithers Community Radio. We also like to give a little shout out to our sponsors. We're an organization that's all volunteer run. And so we do have businesses around town that provide us with some support, and we really appreciate that. So I'll just shout out to Betty Z's Boutique on Broadway, and I've got Subway Smithers. We've got a Bugwood Bean, a Classic Sanitary, and we've got Ranch House Tattoo that we're appreciate their participation. Thank you very much. So just so everyone remembers, this is Thomas Tom Roper, and our program is called On the Ropes. And tonight I've got, I call him a homegrown smithereene, Matt Perry. So Matt, we're trucking along here pretty good. Let's throw in another song.
Let's do another one. Are
right.
we doing the E.S. Waltz?
Yeah, let's
so
try
So this
that
song one. Is written by my sister, and it was actually something interesting about this one is this. She wrote this after Anne and I had gone our separate ways, and my sister was actually in France. And then so she got to learn about the Anne, and I think she spent some time with Anne's parents.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So anyways, this was the song she wrote when she kind of learned about that story.
Right. Okay, let's give it a try here.
Red sky in the morning, loaning her that pen pencil knocked him straight into uncharted waters. Take warning, a foreign tongue in that first French kiss, a leak in this sailboat of bliss. They both knew it would end inevitably. Infatuation's burial at sea. And I'd give him a pencil to write her name, but it won't build a bridge across the ocean blue. I'm to visit is made, but they both know that he's stuck in this town on part-time and minimum wage. So in the end, was it worth it? Such a dangerous experiment. His mind pushes cloud nine away, while his soul it grasps at rain. And I give him a
it's actually kind of cool that I can get some context to that song, because I didn't really understand it. You know, it's a well-written song, but it's related to you and Anne, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, it was inspired by that story, and that was, and it's a bit, it's almost a touch dark and gloomy, right? Because at that time,
you were had made a decision where you're going. Yeah, that's really interesting. Pretty cool. So, Matt, now you've got this, you've been through the COVID, you've been through Vancouver, and now you've made this decision you want to come back up to Smithers. You've got this Smithers in your heart a little bit. Do you know that wherever you go, like I've been down to Vancouver many times visiting my family, but I'm at a restaurant and there's somebody from Smithers. You know, it's a big community.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of government people have come here to get a start and then get their way to Victoria or some other city, you know, but Smithers is a good stopping off spot.
Yeah.
And then you find people that fall in love with the place because it does have a lot of attractions to keep us happy, you know. So when you got back into town then, now you got to get another job, and then you've ended up in the Houston School District. How did that sort of come together?
Yeah, I ended up at the Bulkley Valley School District and got a job in Houston. And so I worked there for 5 years, starting Yeah, starting with all these, you know, in the middle of COVID.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
all the regulations, the isolation, the
masks,
the,
and
the
whatever.
Madness that it was.
Yeah.
I just loved my time out there. One of the hardest things, I now am working in Smithers and working at the Bulkley Valley Learning Center, but it was, and I was really fortunate to be looking into, to be starting with that program and all those things, but I had a really hard time
making the change.
Yeah,
the
just leaving.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's like any transition in your life. It's like it's wonderful coming to new places, but it's always sad to leave old places.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And you know, Houston, I spent some time in Houston, and I found the people there very friendly and very
lots of newfies.
Yeah, they kind of, they don't mind taking you home and look, you know, it seemed like a very close community, you know.
I really, really enjoyed the staff out there and also the kids make me laugh a lot.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, yeah. I've met, there was one lady that I met, you maybe not have met her because she'd been retired, but her name was Carol Airy, and she was a librarian at Silverthorne. And during the time that she got, it wasn't COVID, it was the earthquakes and problems in Nicaragua. And the kids were raising money in the class. And one of the kids said to her, well, who's getting our money? And she said, well, I'll go down and find out. So that's how she got on her travels and went down into and met people down there and where the money was going. And it was just an interesting circle to be in, out of Houston, you know, which is pretty cool. Pretty cool. So you didn't live in Houston. You traveled. You made the road trip.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's a pretty cool trip.
Yeah.
But living in Houston gives you another feel. Like you said, when you're living in Ecuador for 2 weeks, a month, you get a different feel than when you're just passing by.
And 100%.
Yeah. So I felt, I spent a year living there, and I felt quite close to the community, like you're saying. And I could go back there now and still see people I haven't seen for 20 years, but they would remember me. Where I don't feel that is exactly the same in Smithers. I think Smithers has its own groups, and everybody's doing their own thing. And it seems that those groups are tight, but the people on the peripheral are not. Part of
that group. Hard to integrate.
It's a little bit tighter that way.
And find the people.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's the way it's all different. Everybody's got a different setup. So this job that you've gone into now is another decision that you've made that is these are not just regular kids. These are kids with challenges that need more help.
Yeah, they're I look at it as more so their, the school system, as a whole has lots of challenges, and it's designed in a lot of ways it's designed to be efficient. Like, where in what world do you see supervisor ratios of 20, like 30 to 1, right? You don't. And so with that, there are certain kids that are going to fall between the cracks,
right.
And things are going to get missed, and teachers are overwhelmed and stressed. And it's kind of it happens all the time. And so we work mostly with kids where something isn't working.
Right.
So, and that can be such a wide variety of things.
It's very, this is where I get back to this point about being kind of like a noble profession, where you're like, when I go to work and I'm working on a D8 cat, that cat doesn't have any problems. It's only problems that I'm going to solve. It's not running.
Yeah.
Something needs to be fixed. But when you go to work, you've got these emotional problems that we all have, and somehow you have to work with that person, and you're actually helping that person. You know, I'm helping the cat run, but you're helping the person live. You know what I mean? And there's a difference between that, Matt.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely more complex and more emotional than a cat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
but it's like one of the biggest things is trying to with kids that if the system hasn't been working, or they one hate school and two hate the system, and then they misinterpret that information as I'm not capable of this, or I'm stupid, or I don't like school and I don't like learning and learning is dumb. And that's unfortunately that's the message that has been kind of sent and received, and sort of that's been the idea that's formed. So some days a lot of it is kind of breaking those down and kind of trying to get back to the roots of what we're supposed to be doing in school.
That sounds pretty cool, Matt. It really does. So it doesn't look like we're going to have time for our fourth song. Now, I was going to play that song of your dad's of Fish Boats, which was from Rupert. And he's very connected to Rupert, and we've been up there, seen his show up there. And I used to go to Rupert quite a bit. When I was a kid, I had a job on a boat that stopped there every week. So I've got a little connection. So Rupert's kind of a cool place. And that's part of our sort of our circle here in the Northwest. We've got all these places that we can be a part of, which is kind of cool. But unfortunately, I would say I talk too much. We've crowded ourselves into the last minute, so I just wanted to say that it's been a real pleasure talking with you, Matt, and really my listeners are very interested in people's stories of where they've come from, where they're going, and that type of thing. And I appreciate you coming out.
And I appreciate you having me, and I appreciate all the things you and CICK do for our community. I think it's so cool to have you, something like you guys, a voice like you guys have for the community, and that's awesome.
Thanks very much for that, man. And we could, there may be a future where we could get some of your students come down and give a little try at this. It's kind of fun. And gets a person on a different direction, So just in conclusion, it must be amazing to have a little boy.
Very.
And now, it's in your life, 20 years after graduation, and now you've got your own family that you have to think about. Your immediate family must be completely overjoyed.
Yeah. No, he's such a cool little integration, he makes everything that any family gathering so special. And it's just kind of my parents should goggle over him, Anne's parents goggle over him.
He's pretty crazy.
He's pretty fun little dude.
No, that's going to be awesome. And so he's got a future ahead of him, because you've had this hockey life and growing up life and horse life and all these things that are part of Northern BC. That he's got that opportunity ahead of him. That
we'll see what he likes.
Yeah,
and then we'll. But he'll have lots of, lots of threads he can pull.
Yeah,
and lots of supports around him if he, but whatever avenue he takes.
That's it. Okay. All right. Well, we'll close her out with our outro. Just give a little buzz for that. Now, where is my cursor? Oh, there we are. Up we go. Try it.
You have been listening to On the Ropes, Smithers Community Radio, CICK 93.9 on your FM dial. I'm your host, Thomas Tom Roper, and we will see you on the flip side.
Push.